Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Former Astro Billy Wagner inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him. Also in sports today, Aaron Glenn, the new head coach of the New York Jets. As far as the Texans go, Bobby Slowick is going to be interviewed by the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are also having a final interview, or a second interview, with Robert Saleh, former head coach of the New York Jets. Joe, we've had a couple of days to sit back, to digest the end of the Texans season. You ask this question, was the Texans season a success, a failure, a disappointment? What was it to you?
So I teetered between disappointment and failure. I think when we think back to the expectations that we all had before the season, it's hard not to use the failure word. But I think now, like, looking back on this team going into the season, kind of all realizing that we were kind of a little over our skis about, like, what the Texans were going to be this year, I'm just going to say disappointment. They won 10 games. They won a playoff game. But they didn't take that next step as an organization. And it felt like it was time to do so. But when you look at how they got their 10 wins, they did it by, you know, or at least their losses. They lost to really good teams. They lost to Detroit, to Green Bay, to Minnesota, to Baltimore, to Kansas City in the regular season. Like, yes, they beat the Chargers in the playoffs, who are a good team. But then they lost to Kansas City in the second round, in the divisional round, and didn't advance. And, like, they're still, you know, defeated in the divisional round of the playoffs. So I think it's a disappointment, because for me, like, at some point, like, just the logical expectation is that, like, they're going to advance. And I think as long as CJ Stroud is the quarterback, the expectation for the team should still be to go farther in the playoffs than they went this year, pretty much every season. And so that's why I'm not going to call it a failure yet, because it's year two, but it's, to me, it's just, it's a massive disappointment.
You're being disingenuous if you call it a failure. You can't. Yes. They only had 10 wins. You wanted more. But they won the AFC South again. They made it to the second round of the playoffs again. They were in the final eight. You can't call it a failure. They had a first-place schedule. And while they definitely shot themselves in the foot in big spots all year long, this was a team that hung in there and put together a better playoff performance in the second round than they did last year. But it's certainly a disappointment. When I was on Sports Extra on KHOU on Sunday, I said I feel about the Texans season the same way that I feel after eating at a sushi restaurant. It's expensive, and it's good. I love sushi. Sushi's great. But for the most part, especially the really expensive sushi spots, you're going to be effing hungry when you're done. If you're a man, generally, you're not going to have eaten enough sushi at the end of it. You're going to want to eat somewhere else. So maybe you go get Whataburger on the way back or something like that. This is how I always feel after eating sushi. Like, I'm still hungry. I want more, but I also don't want to spend $200, $300 on sushi, especially knowing that even if I spend that much money, I might still be hungry. And that's where I'm at with the Texans. I'm still hungry for more, and now I gotta wait. Like, I gotta wait months to potentially see if this team goes further next year. And going into this past season, I certainly was optimistic that they could do it. This time around, I won't.
Yeah, like, if you had sushi on a Friday night, let's say you're, you know, dates back to back nights with two different ladies, And the second night, she was saying she also wants to go to sushi.
Only one of them is getting sushi. I'm sick.
But you would know going to night two, because it's a great analogy because we all love sushi.
Yeah, most people.
Sushi
some
is great,
don't, but yeah, sushi is really
most
good.
People do. Yeah, but like you are gonna like often leave hungry, and unless you're like an all you can eat sushi. I feel like even if you go to an all you can eat sushi, you still leave hungry. Because I feel like I get full from sushi, and then as soon as I leave, I'm then hungry.
It doesn't make any sense. I totally get what you're saying. Where you're like, wait, what? But there's a couple of spots where you actually can get like a lot of bang for your buck. Off the top of my head, I'm forgetting. There's one in Greenway Plaza. And there's another one that's kind of nearby me. But again, I forget the names, and I don't want to sound racist trying to say the names of the Japanese sushi restaurants. I don't want to.
I was like ready, Paul. I was like, that's my moment to call Paul racist.
No,
like,
I'm self-aware enough to send it back.
Listen, yeah, Paul.
Joe, I've lived in Seattle. Okay, like I've lived in Seattle, so I know what potentially pisses people off. People got mad at me in Seattle because I brought this up before with Yusei Kikuchi because I said he was deferential instead of saying he's kind of chicken bleep when he's going up against the best hitters in the game. I said he's deferential, and people found that offense. Apparently, that's a stereotype about Japanese men. What do I know? But anyway, to bring it back to this, it's a disappointment. Anyone saying it's not a disappointment, F you. You know, and hell, like there's a lot of Houston Texans players who will probably say that after the fact. Nah, F you. The offense did not take the step forward it needed to. It didn't. This isn't a like F you, I'll fight you. This isn't like no F off, F you. Like it was one of those years where you did not go as far as you should have, at least based off of the expectations that we had going into the year. And the Texans kind of fed into those expectations a little bit with the way that they talked about this year. CJ Stroud saying, you know, we've got the five-headed monster. Look at where they are now. You have serious questions about whether or not this offense will take a step forward going into the offseason when we all thought it was a lock going into this past year.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's even like there's a path to like even next season where they win 10 games again, they get knocked out in the divisional round again, and we can feel much better about this team because like maybe the offense just won't suck the entire year. Like if you just get beat by a good team, like if they would have had a top five offense this year and gone toe to toe with Kansas City in the divisional round and lost, we wouldn't feel the way we did. But just the entire year, it's a total disappointment. There's really no other way to look at it. I don't think there's anyone on that team that would view this year as a success. I mean, your head coach is saying he's discouraged after the game, not encouraged, because he felt like they had a better football team. I mean, you have guys like Will Anderson saying that they were the better team in this game. So if you thought you were the better team, there's no way you're happy with the way the season ended. So there are moments, I think, there are things about this season that were a success. Like I think it is a success that you have a Super Bowl caliber defense, and I think that's repeatable next year. It's the offense that's really the big question for me. So that's a success, but like the totality of it, it's just a disappointing season. Like, I wasn't sure, like, after a couple of days we might feel better about this team. And that's kind of why I wanted to ask the question. Like, do you just feel better about the Texans in any way? But honestly, Paul, like, I feel like the further away I get from the game, I just feel more disappointed in, like, the way that it went and the way the season went.
Right. I mean, they lost that game on their own. People are going to talk about the refs. I see Eric in Jersey Village is saying, like, hey, we're soft for saying the refs won the Chiefs that game. No, I don't think the refs won that game. I feel that the flop by Patrick Mahomes is the worst thing that happened in that game, but it didn't decide the game. They lost this because they did what they have done all year long, which is shoot themselves in the foot. Someone texted in, the best word to describe the Texans season is stressful. Oh, stressed or blessed? Yeah, it was stressful. It was. It was one of those years where you regularly found yourself wondering, like, are they going to screw this up? And, hey, they're a young team, and they did win, two AFC South championships, and they made it to the second round of the playoffs again. But I think constantly we were wondering how they were going to get in their own way. And they found new ways to do it every single week, it felt like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then even like the wins, there's a lot of wins throughout the season that, the Monday after, like we're not talking about them fondly. Think back to week one. The reaction on Monday on week one as a 1-0 football team was they would have lost that game against any other quarterback in the NFL. It felt like besides Anthony Richardson. So it just the whole season, like, it's just a bummer. It's just a bummer that, like, and for the people, like, I see we have one texter who loves us so much every day, saying, you know, they won 10 games and won the division. Like, don't you guys want more? Like don't you want more than that? Like,
I think most people want more.
Yeah, like, I get it. Like, and that's where, like, it's nowhere near a failure because you won double-digit games. You can use the Vegas number as a point of success. Like, they hit the over on that. But they won the division at 10 games for the second year in a row, and they got to the same point in the playoffs. They beat a team that not a lot of people, like, were terrified of in the playoffs in the first round, you know, with the Chargers. And, yes, they were disrespected by the media and Rex Ryan and stuff in the first round. But it's just to get to the exact same point. And, yes, they had a marginal improvement in the second round of the playoffs. Like, they didn't get blown out like they did against the Ravens. That's great. But that's not the kind of improvement anyone was looking for. The goal for this season was not to win the same exact amount of games, get back to the divisional round, and lose by less points. Like, that's not what the goal was. The goal was to get to the AFC Championship game for the first time.
75.5 falsehood says, who cares about winning the division? I think that's how the majority of people feel in this city. That's why we constantly play Bill O'Brien saying, doesn't matter, Brian, AFC South champions, because it was so ridiculous. You know? We do want more. Are we perhaps entitled as a city thinking that we are owed more? Maybe. I mean, some fan bases are dying, maybe the Cowboys even, to have this kind of regular season success. They would take it, even if it does mean the disappointment at the end. At least you care. But this city, and I think a lot of the fans in this city, you're not diehard with this team. You thought about it going into this year, but because this team regularly disappoints, you haven't been able to fully love them in a way where, had you grown up with them, instead of they just appear in 2002, you might have been able to do that. And so, sure, there are some people out there who have, like, gone all in, but it is different when a team just kind of pops up out of nowhere. When you're, for me, I would have been, what, 12, 13, 14 years old? I know there's a lot of people that are around my age. Like, that's the age group where there's a lot of, for this team. And when you have a result, ultimately, like the Texans had this year, that's why I think you should say this year was a disappointment.
Yeah, because I think everyone just wants more. Like, I really think, like, any player that's on that team or coach would tell you, like, it's great we won the division, it's great we won 10 games, but we did not achieve what we wanted to. Like, I don't think, and frankly, like, if there's people on the Texans that are satisfied with this season, I hope Nick Caserio and D'Amico gets rid of them. Because, like, you shouldn't want that. Like, you shouldn't want that to think that that's enough. Like you should want to be in that top-tier conversation. I mean,
the good thing is,
at some point, you need more.
The good thing is, like, the statistics are such that it'll be very hard for any of them to try and flex about this year afterwards. And, like, they kind of have to eat it, you know, for this offseason. Will they? We'll see. But I think you'd really have to be kind of talking out your ass to have people actually look at you and say, yeah, man, you tell them you really did it this year. You were different, like 100. No.
No, like, I mean, like, busted. It's just... Yeah, I just don't, and that's why, and I'm glad that, like, no one's talking, like, the, you know, I don't think we're going to hear, like, the anyone say at any point this season from the organization that they got to where they wanted to go. They know the heights that they believe that they can go to, that I still, like, I'm not going to back down from my, you know, CJ Stroud's going to win a Super Bowl in his rookie contract.
Let's go.
As I nearly die. Like, I firmly believe that that's going to happen still. I think that C.J. Stroud is the quarterback that's going to lead the Texans to a place that they've never been before. And I think that with D'Amico as their head coach, they can get there. And that's part of the reason why, for me, it's a disappointment. Just because, like, they're going to get there, I think. And until they, you know, I thought they were going to take that next step this season. They didn't.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean Mapes behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And if you want to weigh in on that, you can get after us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Let's just roll right through it, baby, as we always do with your big old segment. Guys, we're getting closer and closer to that day. And on the day where Billy Wagner is officially a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, Let's keep that countdown going. We are now 21 days away, Roger Clemens, from the Astros beginning the quest to win the AL West again, to go to the American League Championship Series again. Give me that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
Alex Bregman, still available.
Still waiting.
Still available.
It's so quiet. It is so quiet for Alex Bregman. Like, the Dodgers keep making moves, and there are other moves. Like, it feels like the Dodgers are going to now start trading players because of where they're at with, like, their roster and how many players they have on it. But the Bregman stuff is it's so quiet. And I think we're 21 days away. Is he signed in the next 21 days, you think?
Good question. I don't know. I feel like
the answer is no.
I would think he wants to get somewhere by spring training. I'm saying this again. I think the Astros should just offer a one-year ridiculous contract. If they don't want to do the long-term deal, like, see if he'll bite at a one-year insane kind of deal that allows him the kind of flexibility to go back out there and test the market. Because your outfield sucks right now, and I'd rather move Paredes into the outfield if I could. Or, honestly, anyone. I hate this outfield right now. No offense to those players. They're just, like, without Kyle Tucker, this outfield is one of the worst, if not the worst, in baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm all for it. Figure it out when you get there. I just call Alex.
Right.
And you know what? Honestly, like, if, like, Isak Paredes doesn't like it, then, like, well, who cares? Then, like if,
yeah,
honestly,
you're new, dude. You're new to this, Isak Paredes.
How would you feel if Alex Bregman signed his original deal, 5 years, 156, today? Mm-hmm. Would you trade Isak Paredes then for a left fielder? Like, I think that's what the move actually would be.
Whoa,
like,
that's,
you trade him before he's ever got here?
I don't know. That's a lot of work. I think they like the Crawford Box stuff, so they're going to keep him.
Yeah. My guess is they'll keep him, but, like, he just got traded at the deadline and was, like, supposed to be the Cubs' everyday third baseman, and then they were just like, see ya. Like, if Alex wants to come back.
Might be a Cubs problem.
That's right. I just want to, like, if he doesn't want to play left field, then just trade him for one. If Alex Bregman wants to come back. But we'll see. I don't know. I feel like Alex still ends up in Detroit eventually. I think if Boston was going to do it, I feel like they would have done it. And so
Boston could use the goodwill. You're right. I'm starting to feel the same way. Like, Boston, the vibes are so bad for the Red Sox right now up there.
Yeah. So, like, both those teams make a lot of sense still. So I just don't know. But if he's stubborn, because one of the reports that we got from Alex Bregman recently was that he doesn't want to sign one of these short-term deals. He doesn't want to do a three-year deal with opt-outs. Like, he just wants to be under contract, which I think is strange because we saw for Matt Chapman, it worked out for him. We saw for Blake Snell, it worked for him. It worked out for Jordan Montgomery and Cody Bellinger because they both had bad years and they were going to get less money on the market, so they just opted back into their deals so they can continue to get paid. So if I was Alex, I would just sign one of these, like, three-year, $90 million deals where you can opt out after year one and year two and just kind of roll the dice and just go somewhere where you want to play, whether that's Houston or Boston or Detroit or somewhere else. Like, just find somewhere to play at this point.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with Alex Bregman. Nothing new. As far as the Astros themselves, I think it's interesting to note that the last time that Donald J. Trump was inaugurated as president of the United States, the Astros won the World Series the following fall. So?
Interesting.
Astros
back?
Maybe.
I'm going to Lake Charles to put in a bet.
Let's do it. Let's
get
do
great
it.
Great odds.
Yeah. I mean, no, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to move on to the next story.
No,
any final thoughts? Okay.
No, it's okay.
The Athletic says the Astros are the number four biggest loser from this offseason behind the Blue Jays, Mariners, and Nick Pivetta.
I guess he has a terrible contract to be, like, the biggest loser of all free agency. I think that's a stretch. I like Jim Bowden as a writer. To have the Astros fourth when, yes, you lost Kyle Tucker, but you chose to lose Kyle Tucker – you replaced Alex Bregman with Isak Paredes and a first baseman who's won three straight gold gloves, and both guys, like, you think will have a lot of success in the Crawford boxes. I think you are a worse baseball team going into this season, but to say you've had a worse offseason than the Mariners, who have signed nobody, the Padres, who have signed nobody, the Cardinals, who apparently, like, Arenado, like, would have taken, gone to the Astros. There was a report out last week, I think, that we missed, that, like, he would have taken the Astros deal if the Paredes trade didn't happen first. Like, if the trade for Nolan Arenado would have happened, like, 3 days earlier, he would have been fine with being an Astro. So they're stuck with him, and they can't get rid of that contract. I don't know how you could put the Astros in this category. Like, I know people are not thrilled with their offseason, but they've had a much better offseason than most, because they've had guys walk out the door, and at least they've replaced them with, like, highly competent baseball players.
Right. We'll see if any of these work out to the best that they possibly can. They definitely have had a better offseason than the Mariners. And this article does say, hey, the Mariners, like, of all the teams, they had the worst one, especially, I think, getting so close and doing nothing. The way it's written, it is weird reading Bowden's write-up about the Astros and why they're the fourth biggest loser. I've been fortunate to cover the Astros in the postseason for 8 consecutive years. They boasted a special group of players that kept winning even after losing stars like George Springer, Carlos Correa. This offseason, they've lost Kyle Tucker and Bregman, who remains unsigned, replacing them in the lineup with first baseman Christian Walker and third baseman Isak Paredes. Those are good players. You read that and you're like, yeah, they are. More I look at the outfield and I just don't like that. But do I think that the Astros got bad to a level where they're not going to be contending for the American League West? No. And this is what helps when you're in the American League West, because the AL West blows.
I think it's going to be a lot of a close. I think it's going to be a much closer race this year. Like, I think the Astros are going to win the AL West. I don't think they're going to win it, you know, early. But they haven't won it really early the last 2 years. Like, it's been, you know, the Mariners. Like their biggest problem is offense. Well, they haven't fixed their offense. The Rangers are, like, they've added what, Jock Peterson. Like that doesn't make them some, like, incredible threat after their fall off last year. So Their threat is that they have a couple young kids that, like, could take the next step, and they could have a couple guys rebound after they won the World Series, who had a down year last year. But I think the Astros still win the division next year.
Same.
It might be tougher, but I don't think the – and then once you get to the dance, like, anything is possible. Like, we all know that. We've seen wild card teams win the World Series. We saw what happened with the Tigers, obviously, last year in Houston, and, like, they were not a good baseball team. They just got the better view for 2 games. So I think as long as you have Fromber and Hunter Brown at the top of your rotation, I think the Astros are just fine when they get to the playoffs. And I think they'll be there for sure.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, we go around the National Football League. The New York Jets have a new head coach, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, are they about to poach one of Houston's smartest minds? Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter that promo code BET975, and you're going to get an awesome deposit bonus if you are signing up for the first time. They also have a reload bonus. Tomorrow is a risk-free bet Thursday. You can bet on any of the sports matches out there, and guess what? You lose, you get your money back. That's how it works at mybookie.ag on those risk-free Thursdays. Let's get crazy. You know, we were just talking about the Houston Astros and, you know, what's potentially on the table for them this year. If you go to mybookie.ag, promo code BET975, the Astros have the 7th highest odds to win the World Series, plus 1600, which is behind the Dodgers, Yankees, Braves, Mets, Phillies, and Orioles, plus 1600. Mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Screw it! Bet on the Astros to win the World Series. Those are fun odds. Maybe a parlay with some other moves, perhaps for conference championship weekend. Or maybe you want to do a Texas two-step. The Texans are going to win a Super Bowl next year. The odds of them winning the Super Bowl this year are non-existent. You cannot bet on the Texans to win Super Bowl licks. That's what it's called. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
Your home for the college football playoff is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're ready Iris.
Dad! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Aaron Glenn is the new head coach of the New York Jets. So we still have some coaching vacancies as the coaching carousel across the NFL continues. Patriots hired Mike Vrabel. Bears hired Ben Johnson. Still no head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Las Vegas Raiders. And on top of that, who can forget the New Orleans Saints, who had to cancel a bunch of interviews because of all the snow that they are currently dealing with. Joe, did you hear what Ben Johnson, new head coach of the Chicago Bears, said at his introductory press conference? No way this will backfire for him.
I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Haven't competed against them for the last 6 years. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
Joe?
Yeah, that's going to come back and bite him in the ass pretty much guaranteed now. Probably next season, I would imagine.
I do like it. I like LaFleur.
I do too. There's some beef there. They asked him something else later in the press conference maybe earlier about like that fake stumble play that Jared Goff did where he pretended to fall and then threw a touchdown pass against the Bears. He called that like a Matt LaFleur special. It seems like there's either a very friendly rivalry between the two of them or like a little bit of beef. Because he's like very complimentary of Dan Campbell, of Kevin O'Connell, like as he's talking there and then just takes that shot at LaFleur. So, yeah, that won't come back to bite him in the ass.
You don't think?
No shot.
Okay.
No chance.
Okay.
No chance.
Just wanted to ask.
Yeah. It'll go great.
He doesn't feel Chicago.
Interesting. I think that's a good thing.
Like, why is that?
Because I don't need like Mike Ditka to come back through the door.
I don't know though. It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, he was hired on the anniversary of Mike Ditka being hired, so like people are making a big deal about that. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but like also. I don't think they've hired anyone that like represents the city well in ever since Lovie Smith, and I think Lovie kind of built that honestly after the Ditka era. So Dave Wannstedt was a pretty like Chicago guy, I would say, but I'm okay that they're going a little bit different direction. So I'm okay with it.
It is interesting now that you mentioned like Wannstedt was the guy. Yeah. Is it just a mustache thing? If he had a mustache, maybe he'd make more sense as a Chicago guy. Joe's got a mustache now. Yep. I no longer have a mustache. Mustaches do seem very Chicago.
Yeah, it's very on brand. So like I'm not, to be honest with you, when I look at Ben Johnson, I'm not sure he can grow one.
You don't think?
Uh-oh. Like, he either
how
shaves,
can he be a head coach of the Bears if he can't grow a mustache? Yeah. What are
like
we doing?
He either shaves every day, or I'm not sure he's got that in his bag.
I already know what's going to happen is that one, you know, year three, hopefully year four or five, when he starts to get on the hot seat, he's going to start growing a beard. That's what's going to happen. He's going to change his look like how Eberflus did, and that's going to be the real. That's going to be the. Did Lovie do that in college, or did he do that at the Bears where he grew his Santa beard?
No, he like, you know, Santa beard was at Illinois when he like really started to grow that thing out.
But we've seen it before where coaches come back and it's like, we're doing things a little differently. My wife got me a new haircut. and then he gets fired on Thanksgiving anyway.
I have a funny story, by the way, while we're on stashes from going into the Texans playoff game against the Chargers. So I'm walking in, and this is when I had the mustache. And some guy goes, look at this Dick Butkus looking mother effer here. Like as I'm walking in, it just made me laugh because I was in a hurry because I didn't make it to the stadium as early as I'd like to. But as I'm walking, I know the guy was talking about me. I didn't turn back. That's honestly an insult to Dick Butkus to say I look like him entirely because of the mustache, but I want that person to know if that was you. I did chuckle. I thought that was pretty funny. Albert Breer, NFL reporter, says that Texans quarterback coach Gerard Johnson's a candidate to be the next offensive coordinator of the New York Jets. That would make sense because Aaron Glenn and Gerard Johnson, they're Aggies. And I also think that they probably know each other pretty well, given that they have both been on a sports TV show with me.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That would be a bummer for the Texans. I think a lot of people would be disappointed by that because a lot of people obviously think very highly of Gerard Johnson. But that would make a lot of logical sense for that direction of what Aaron Glenn wants to do. That makes a ton of sense, honestly.
We'll see if they bring him in, but this makes a lot more sense than, Bobby Slowick head coaching rumors, which, by the way, the Jaguars are going to interview Bobby Slowick.
Do you think Gerard Johnson wears the Aggie ring when he interviews with Aaron Glenn?
You got to.
I mean, that's the whole point.
You got to.
It just whatever percent it helps, it helps 5%.
Yeah, just that little reminder.
Like, hey, we gotta look out for each other. If no one else, if we don't, no one else will.
You just plop it on the table.
Yeah, boom.
I got one of these. I paid for it.
And then he's like, so did I. Boom.
How much do they cost, Aggie rings?
Ooh.
Couldn't tell you.
Too much is the answer. That's the answer.
It has to be a couple hundred dollars, right?
It doesn't just come with the tuition?
Oh, do you not know how colleges work? They're going to charge you on top of the tuition.
Yeah.
That was me just trying to say too much. You gotta earn the ring unless it's one that you purchased for your significant other. You gotta earn it. You gotta earn it. Bills Mafia has stepped in to help Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is getting crushed on social media. And guess what? Bills Mafia, fun fan base, they are now donating to a charity close to Mark Andrews' heart. Breakthrough T1D. He has type 1 diabetes, and that's what that charity is for. It is funny how randomly the Bills fans, who also throw phallic sexual devices onto this field at their stadium and dive through tables that are on fire, that they also randomly get charitable for guys like Andy Dalton, who help a team who helped them make the playoffs for the first time, or here in this situation for Mark Andrews, who had a horrible day and definitely cost the Ravens their season, but I don't know, it was still nice. I like it. There's goodness in this world, guys.
Yeah, I think it started with Andy Dalton, so I'm very pro. I think this is a nice little bit that they've got running here. That whatever team that they beat in the playoffs, if someone has a disappointing performance, that they, help them out. Make you feel better.
It is a good-hearted troll move. Because it is a troll move. What they're doing is a troll move.
Yes.
I don't want that to be discounted or counted out. But it is ultimately helping people. Also, guys, I just looked up Aggie ring price. I'm at a page to customize my Aggie ring.
Whoa.
$1,902.
What? Are there diamonds in this?
I don't know.
Is there anything?
I haven't added anything to it. It's just when I press it, that's what the starting price is.
I hope that gets people hired on the spot. I figured it would be 300.
Yeah, I was in my head. I was 300 to 500.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Is that the cheapest option, or are they just all that price?
This is just the first link. This is what it takes me to.
Someone on the Twitch, Kugblaze, asks: Does the marathon girl? Does she have an Aggie ring? Honestly,
good
I
question.
Don't know.
Good,
gonna
great,
have to ask her.
Question.
I might text her that in the commercial break. Hey, how much did you pay for your Aggie ring?
How much did it cost?
Yeah, I was gonna ask because that's why your mustache is gone. She didn't like it.
No, it was a Chiefs fan. I swear it was a Chiefs fan.
Oh, that's right.
Some random Chiefs fan said, no, she didn't even recognize who I was when I came to join her after the marathon that I didn't go to. She's like, who are you?
In your defense, again, it was very cold. It was very, very cold.
I literally just slept in. The biggest enemy in my life is the snooze button. And even though I have an app on my phone called Alarmy, which I pay $60 a year for, I still find ways to not wake up. This phone, do you know what it does? You have to do push-ups, you have to do squats, you have to do math problems. Otherwise, it just keeps ringing. And here's what I've started doing. Now I just turn the phone off. There's no way that they could stop me from turning my phone off. So this is how I keep on sleeping in all the time.
I would, when I was doing mornings back on the network and I had to be there at 5 a.m., I bought an old school alarm clock where I had to like tap the top of it, but I would put it on the it was the one with the bells. So we just like hit the bells back and forth. I put it on the other side of my room. So like I would try to throw things at it, never worked, so I'd have to get up eventually. That was the only way I could get up.
Yeah. Listen, it's a disease. Like people talk about, you know, some of those things that are, but like the snooze button, it's a disease. If you become addicted to the snooze button, you can't shake it. I've been trying my whole life. From the 281, someone says, it's the gold, Paul. I didn't know Aggie rings were gold, so sorry. My bad. It is cool to have a gold ring.
I
think you should have to earn it like it's a state championship ring.
You do earn it by getting a degree.
Time out. Sean, are you sure about that?
Can you get an Aggie ring without getting a degree?
Yeah, can you just buy it right now?
I mean, we probably could buy it.
At one point, if I keep hitting next step, at some point, it has to, like, I have to be in a database somewhere. And, like, my student ID or something.
Ooh, Sean doesn't want that.
Hit next step.
If they hit the next step, Sean's going to be on an Aggie ring watch list.
I need to log in to continue. I'm guessing. I need a student ID at some point.
All right.
Should Sean Mapes, UT grad, buy an Aggie ring? 713-780-3776. Just put on a payment plan. It's fine. You can call in at that number. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, what's worse? We've seen it before with our beloved Astros. What sports team derangement syndrome is the worst right now? Chiefs derangement syndrome or Dodgers derangement syndrome? Stick around.
Oh, Athletic is the gym for you. 2025 is here. Look, we're almost at the end of the month. So all those people that have gone to gyms and are bailing on their New Year's resolutions, it's probably about that time. Look, when we're all back on the roads, because, you know, still a little slick out there right now, let's get to the gym tomorrow morning. That's my plan. Get back to the gym. I went on Monday right before they closed for the storm, and they'll be back there on Thursday to get back and start working on my goals for 2025. Check them out, oathletic.com, oathletic on Instagram, and on their website you can see all the over the 100 classes that they offer throughout the week. When you get there, you can sign up. It's super easy to do. You can tell them in the little comment section that you joined by hitting radio. Just check them out, oathletic.com, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
You might have missed this, but guess what? The Dodgers signed somebody else. Kirby Yates is the latest Dodger addition. I think, Joe, you thought for a second that I was talking about a new Dodger addition. I mean, that's how crazy it's been this offseason.
Yeah, it's just wild. Like that. Like there's teams that have money that are doing nothing or who are making like one move, and the Dodgers are just like, they're saying, screw it. Like, I mean, they're drawing major conspiracy theories about what's happening to baseball and what's going to happen in 3 years. A lot of people like think what the Dodgers are doing is that they are anticipating a salary cap happening in 2027 and the 2027 baseball season not happening because of a lockout. So they're saying, screw it, we're going to go all in one time. And then there's going to be a lockout. And when we come out of that, there's going to be major reconstruction to the future of baseball. So people think that's going to happen. Like, people like, that's the conspiracy theory. Also, they just have, like, bleep you money. Like, and just don't care, clearly, like, how much they spend, how much their luxury tax is. Like, the Tanner Scott deal, that was 4 years, $72 million. I don't think any of that was deferred. So, like, that one's just, like, on their books. So.
It is insane. And people are getting very mad about it. to the point where online you've seen some people say, actually, you know what? The Astros, what they did wasn't so bad. I mean, that's been my favorite development coming out of all of this. So a lot of people are mad at the Dodgers, and they think that the Dodgers are ruining the sport. And a lot of people are saying the same thing that they used to say about the New England Patriots. The Kansas City Chiefs are ruining football. I've seen a lot of actual statistical data the last couple of days that indicate that the Chiefs actually are not the recipients of as many penalties as you would think, and that Patrick Mahomes roughing the passer calls don't happen as much as you'd think. In fact, Josh Allen gets significantly more. But people, I think, they see the Chiefs now, Joe, and they lose their minds. I kind of get it because Chiefs fans are starting to get insufferable. The amount of Chiefs fans who stop by our YouTube channel at ESPN Houston or our Twitch channel at ESPN 975. Same thing with my own personal ones, where they stop by like just to talk trash. I mean, the Chiefs-Texans game happened on Saturday, and people are still stepping by. So that makes maybe adds to it a little bit. But who I think right now of those two teams, is there a greater derangement syndrome towards the Dodgers or the Chiefs?
I think the Dodgers, because for the Chiefs, like, they're built like everyone else. Like, they're built the way every NFL team is built. They went through the draft. They've gone stuff through free agency. They acquire guys at the trade deadline, like DeAndre Hopkins, who had, what, no catches against the Texans. You know, like they've built their team the right way. We're all just kind of annoyed with them that they keep winning at this point. It's like we cannot believe, as football fans, that the Brady era was just transitioned to so easily to the Mahomes era. Like, it seemed illogical. Like, when LeBron was, like, before LeBron, like, yes, the Kobe era existed in basketball, but everyone's like, when's the next Jordan going to be here? And for the NFL, like, the next Brady arrived before Brady was out of the league and winning Super Bowls already. Yep. So, like, I think that's like, I was kind of annoyed with it, but I don't think anyone's saying I'm not watching football anymore because of Patrick Mahomes. Now, I don't believe the people who are saying they're not going to watch baseball anymore because they remind me of the people who say they're not going to watch, or they're going to leave the country after Trump won the election. Like, I don't believe you either. But, like, that's similar to what the baseball thing is. We're like, I'm not watching baseball anymore.
You know what? I'm glad you said it. I'm not watching baseball anymore because of the Dodgers. It's because of the Dodgers.
That's the reason why.
That's
the reason why.
You know, a lot of people say, oh, Paul, it's because you hate baseball, a sport that's too big for your small little peanut brain to understand. And no, I'm taking a stand. I'm taking a knee, okay, against the Dodgers and what they're doing. It's wrong, and I now refuse to watch baseball.
So, Paul, you're going to say right now, on January 22nd, 2025, you're never watching, especially an LA Dodger game ever again.
Definitely not.
Man.
No way. Ain't no way. I will refuse to watch an Astros-Dodgers series.
Wow. Paul's taking vacation that week.
Conscientious
objector.
Exactly. I'll do a live stream on my own channel and the entire time. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this now, or on Twitch in my studio. I'm just going to do this the whole time. I'm on a knee. Taking a knee against the Dodgers and their BS and not watching baseball.
But you're going to be turned the other way so you don't accidentally catch a glimpse.
Yeah, true. The TV will not be on.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Junior Bronco says, Paul, you don't watch baseball in the first place. Shut up. This is a convenient excuse for me. Guys, baseball, it's a sport. It is a sport, and the Dodgers are ruining it. Chiefs derangement syndrome is definitely out of control. I think a lot of people that are pointing at the refs for the reason the Texans lost on Saturday, I think you're overstating the referee impact in that game. I do think it's interesting to see all the data out there as well that shows, like, hey, maybe there aren't as many calls against the Chiefs as we think. My big issue is the play that wasn't even called, thankfully. It's the Mahomes flop. But for sure, right now, Chiefs are ahead of the Dodgers in terms of just derangement syndrome. Because with the Dodgers, like, this is the first time that, with all that money that they're spending, that they haven't fallen on their face in the playoffs. Like, that used to be the annual tradition. Like, what game is Clayton Kershaw going to poop his pants? Like, that was fun to watch. I think it was fun to watch for non-Astros fans, too. Like, hey, when's Clayton Kershaw going to ruin it?
Like, they've always spent a ton of money, and they have one real World Series ring now. Like, their other one is fraudulent. It's in a bubble. It doesn't count. It's not the same. I think even Corey Seager has said that. He said he wanted to win a real World Series when he signed with the Rangers. So, like, even guys who played for the Dodgers recognize that. Yeah, I know it feels like they're just, like, automatically going to win the next three World Series, but just think back to 2019. Like, every year, every time in the playoffs, multiple times a season, it goes viral on Astros Twitter about the lineup in which Kyle Tucker is hitting, like, eighth because of how good the team is. Like, you look at that lineup is better than anything the Dodgers will put out this year. That rotation is better than what the Dodgers will have this year, and they didn't win the World Series. So, like, it's baseball. It's the one sport where I feel like if you have absolutely the best team, like, you're not going to win. And think about it, like, we all felt the same way, I think, as people feel right now about LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh. How'd that work out for them? Like, they didn't win a title right away. They didn't win any titles.
Not one, not two. Actually, two.
Yeah. Yeah. They said, what was it? Like, how far? I think they got to, like, eight when they did that press conference.
Yeah. He started at five. He goes, and he didn't say for 5 years.
Yeah. He said not five, not six, not seven. So, like, it sucks. Like, it sucks to see. I hate seeing so many owners spending no money. I don't like the idea that this could actually be the reason why a salary cap gets put into place. But this is more of an issue with other owners in the sport. Like, Tanner Scott, specifically, like, looking at him, 4 years, $72 million. Other teams can offer that. The Astros could have paid that. They have the money to pay for it. They act like they don't, but, like, they could pay it if they want to. They choose not to. It sucks, but they choose not to.
All of these teams could theoretically push their chips a little bit further into the table. I do think that, you know, we talk about the Astros being cheap. I saw a couple of people making this comment a little bit earlier. It is inaccurate to say they're cheap. It's more that they have hamstrung themselves with bad decisions and bad contracts that they've given out. Lance McCullers, the Ryan Presley contract is aging poorly. At least it made sense at the time. Also, Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu. But who in sports creates the biggest derangement syndrome right now? I think to what you said, Joe, you're right. Like, the Dodgers, and because of the way baseball's playoffs are, even with all this said, like, let's see if they actually are able to pull it off. Baseball's playoffs do allow for some craziness. But for the Chiefs, it does feel like it's a foregone conclusion. I know a lot of people are, like, doing the Chiefs are done thing, but I don't think anyone is doing what Andy Reid claimed earlier this week, which is that, yeah, a lot of people, like, are counting the Chiefs out. Or Travis Kelce saying the same thing. Like, no, it's Emmanuel Acho and Rex Ryan. That's not everyone.
Yes, it's two very loud people.
It's loud people trying to be different online.
I mean, yeah, they're only two-point favorites at home against the Bengals. Like, they're not overwhelmingly, like, favored to win this. But yes, you're right. Everyone's just kind of like, already penciled them in to winning the Super Bowl. They're not being as doubt as they say, but it wouldn't be crazy that they lose. The Dodgers, when they lose in the playoffs, it would be crazy.
But, like, even then, like, look at, like, Vegas, like, and, like, the odds, and, like, there is a sizable gap here between the first and the second team, but the Dodgers are plus 310 to win the World Series, so they're still plus money, and then the next team comes from the National League. The Atlanta Braves are plus 800 to win the World Series. I mean, they're right there. They are the next team. Yeah, exactly.
They're just, like, so hurt this year.
The Padres are still a really good baseball team with, like, an ownership group that has shown that, like, they don't care about spending money anymore. So, like they could make another splash move if they wanted to this offseason or in the regular season. So I don't think it's this foregone conclusion, even though, like, I know I started this segment with, like, we go from, like, Brady to Mahomes. The idea that you're going to go from, like, the Astros to, and even then they only won two World Series, to the Dodgers going on in this run, like, it just feels like there's going to be something that breaks it up. Like, there's going to be teams in years when they don't win. Like, they have all these players who have been injured, who get injured. Like, part of the reason why they got Tanner Scott was because Michael Kopech apparently had, like, forearm issues, who was, like, a huge player for them down the, I mean, how many guys did the Astros lose to Tommy John in the last 2 years? Like, the Dodgers could do that.
Yeah.
The Dodgers could do the same thing. Like, who knows if Ohtani's a good pitcher? Like, he likely will be, but, like, you never know. So, it's not over. Like, there's no reason to not watch baseball unless you just want to use this as a reason to not watch baseball.
Which no one on the show is doing.
No one ever would do that.
Yeah, I mean, Astros fans especially, we should be most aware that, like, hey, yeah, you can get into a World Series with a team that either didn't win 90 games or barely won 90 games and lose. Yeah, you did that to the Nats. You did that with the Braves in 2021, where and got pretty close to losing to the Phillies too. You won that one in six. So there, in the baseball playoffs, it's a little different. Just more crapshooty than at least what the Chiefs make it seem like.
I miss Astros derangement syndrome being as hot as it used to be. It's definitely cooled off a little bit. Hopefully they shock the world, and we'll see a little bit more of that this coming year. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean, behind the glass, Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, catastrophic news for the Houston Texans. Honestly, this is a little bit concerning. Things might be about to get a little more difficult for them. You'll hear what we're talking about next. Stay put.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.